Okay, I'll start by introducing people. We have Mike Casciullo, who is our VP of Merchandising Communications. If you loved those scroll masks last year, thank Mike. Come on, with a round of applause. Come on. My name is Arun Singh. I'm actually originally from Toronto. I am the manager of sales communications, which is a fancy way of saying marketing, and just absolutely embarrassed myself with my lack of intellect at the Marvel trivia panel. And next to me, we have the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be, the man of 1,004 holds.
Bret Hart.
Joe Quesada. Come on.
Hello.
Is this working?
No, of course not.
Yes, we know.
All right.
Yep. And we have, I'm not sure what his title is, but he's an award-winning author. You guys love him. C.B. Cebulski.
What is the title?
Hey, guys. How you doing? How's everybody doing today? How's Toronto, huh? Come on. Toronto, let's go. How are you guys doing? Thank you. So we may have to operate this panel a little bit in reverse, because usually I like to open up with some images and just give you guys a little bit of breaking news and stuff like that, but our crack Marvel team here is completely inept at doing this stuff. I asked them once to fix my VCR, that was a huge mistake. Even more so than just actually owning a VCR. But guys, thanks again for showing up. Come with Joe, haven't done one here in Toronto in 2 or 3 years. I think it's been 2 or 3 years since I've been here. But for those of you who are not familiar with how Cup of Joe works, basically, this is your time with the editor-in-chief of Marvel, and by that I mean that when I was breaking into the comics this year, just a fan, I often wished...
Great. Oh.
Fantastic.
What'd you do?
I think hit the power cord. Yeah. The power strip.
There we go. All right, cool.
Nope. I often wish...
Nope.
I'm just going to wing it. So yes, I often wished I had the opportunity to talk to whoever was the head of Marvel or DC at the time, but of course to get that kind of one-on-one time would be really, really difficult. So I just figured, you know, how could I do this for current fans, and I guess Cup of Joe is the easiest way to do it, along with the weekly column, et cetera, et cetera. So this is it. This is Cup of Joe, and basically this time really is only as cool and wonderful as you guys make it. We'll take questions on all sorts of subjects, and we'll eventually show you the slide presentation. I'm expecting the lights to go out at any minute. So you know, we'll do the best we can. While Arun is down there destroying everything, I'm going to start taking questions now. So who's got a question for... All right, you started the last panel, you're going to start it again. I love this guy. What's your name, man?
Tyler.
What is it?
Tyler.
How are you, man?
Well, nice to meet you.
Pleasure. What's up?
Well, I have a comment question. Okay. First of all, my comment is that I just wanted to thank you. I started collecting Marvel when I was a kid in the 80s, and I had to start saving it for school in the 90s, and Marvel had kind of gone downhill for me. I wasn't enjoying it. So now I'm presumably a grown up. I've got a family of my own. I'm professional now, but the quality of the stories that you guys can put down since
thank you for the kind words. Yes.
You get a lot of respect for Canada and fans up here. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've always loved about Marvel, I think, is unique among American comic publishers, is that you have such a strong legacy of Canadian superheroes. That being said, there has been a lot of success lately with teams like Alpha Flight. And the guy who is currently wearing the Guardian uniform is American.
Right.
Yeah. So is there anything on the horizon that can fix that for him?
You know, there's always something on the horizon. And look, come on, you guys got the greatest hero of all time. You guys got Wolverine, right? So, you know, you got to pay the price somewhere. But, you know, characters come and go, and there's always an ebb and flow to these kind of things, so I'm sure the Canadian characters will be on the rise again. And we're always creating new characters, so you'll probably see some new Canadian characters down the horizon. I'd be lying to you if I said there were immediate Alpha Flight plans right now. But, again... All it takes is somebody hands me a great pitch in the office, and then we go with it. So, sorry. It's Wolverine, right?
I thank you for the kind words. It really, really means a lot. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, over here.
I'm not Canadian or American of English, and I was really Captain Britain, and right. Took him away, and then he cleared up all of the people.
We just hate every country, says America. Sorry.
You say he's the best thing since sliced bread, but you kind of took him away, and then, you know, we're not supposed to do that.
Well, you know, ultimately, it's not that we take them away. You know, comics are very democratic at the end of the day. So if a book is selling, it doesn't matter to me if it's a British character, American character, or a space alien. The book's going to stick around. So it's just a matter of economics. We will always look for a way to get our characters out there. And I love Captain Britain, too. I think he's a great character. You know, speaking about British characters, we now have Marvel Man. So you can be sure that somewhere down the road, I'm not making any Marvel Man announcements, guys. So just, you know, don't hold your breath just yet. But when he comes back, you know, that is a quintessential British character, arguably the greatest. So you know, we'll get you something. I promise.
Anyone Japanese want to complain about Sunfire yet?
Yes, sir. Right.
Last week I was watching the Daily Show, and they had Doctor was interviewing Kim Gunn. He's talking about his upcoming issue in Bottles Inc., where he, you know, dons the Iron Man.
Yes, and John said that he and his son. Yes.
Yes, very excited about being that you'd like to have that opportunity. I was kind of wondering, have you been in talks with John?
Here's the funny thing. I actually got to meet John several months ago, and that's because for his son's birthday, and I hope I'm not betraying a treasure, but I did a piece for his son's birthday, and it was a really cool piece of his son as a superhero along with Spider-Man and Iron Man and stuff. So the minute I heard John say that on the air, within 10 seconds of hearing that, I was like, you know, want to be a Marvel comic? Because I'm a whore. I'm a huge fan of The Daily Show. I'm a huge fan, obviously, of Colbert and those guys. And anytime, you know, we could offer somebody the opportunity to be in a book, even if it's just a small cameo, I'd love to do it.
I'm actually thinking, like, back, not just like a five-page sort of thing, but like kind of what they did, what Marvel did with the Avengers and David Letterman back in the right. 80s, where he had an entire comic
right.
dedicated to yeah, you know, David Letterman.
It's a matter of whether the story works or not. And how long you carry it for, and also how the person who's being portrayed in the comic feels about it. They may just say, hey, I wouldn't mind appearing in a panel, or hey, you can put me in a story, it doesn't matter. So I'd love to have John Stewart, you know, in a Marvel comic. So but yeah, believe me, I heard it, and I was typing as quickly as I could, just getting an email off to him to say, want to do it? We're always game. So
cool.
Thanks, sir. All right, want to show the slides?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Let's show a couple of slides and we'll come back to this. So, here we are. We already introduced C.B. Cebulski. And shameful. This is a shameful
slide. Yeah, Montreal!
Let me say something about the room very quickly, okay?
Uh-oh.
Who do you root for in football?
The Cowboys.
Who do you root for in baseball?
Technically, I don't care anymore.
No, what do you root for?
Yankees or Jays.
Yeah. No, Yankees. Okay. He is the ultimate front runner.
Whoa. When is the last time the Cowboys actually won a playoff game?
Yes.
11 years.
So how long before you jump on the Giants bandwagon? Pittsburgh.
Joe, the Mets. Go Mets.
I'm true to my team, no matter how bad we suck. World War Hulk is coming, folks. Yeah, that's right. And announcing World War Hulk's Alpha with Mr. Jeff Parker and Paul Pelletier. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, World War Hulk's Alpha is going to introduce a group called the Intelligentsia. You've had the Illuminati, made up of some of the smartest heroes on Earth. You've had the Cabal, made up of some of the deadliest villains on Earth. So now the smartest villains, or the villains who think they're the smartest, are going to get together. And it's written by Jeff Parker. As you guys may know, World War Hulk's Gamma is written by Jeff Loeb. It's all leading up to a World War Hulk's, the big Hulk event in 2010. If you like Red Hulk, you don't like Red Hulk. If you like Green Hulk, if you like Scar, if you like any of the She-Hulks, they're all here.
Yeah, but how about MODOK? Who likes MODOK? Woo! And folks have been asking about X Factor. Is X Factor canceled? X Factor is not canceled. X Factor 200 coming up. So yes, 50, issue 50 was the last solicitation. We took a month off, and now X-Factor 200. So yes, the book is around, folks. There you go.
And the basic idea, look, you know, if you need a lawyer in New York, who do you go to? Matt Murdock. You get a story published in a newspaper, you go to the, you know, Daily Bugle. Now, if you need some private investigators in the Marvel Universe, you'll be going to X Factor. But we're not saying who's part of the team yet.
Yep. Peter David is still writing.
But Peter David is still the writer.
What about Valeria?
Kane is back. The guy who started the clone side. Returning to the Spider-Man issue number 608. What ifs? Anybody read the what ifs lately? Cool. All right. Well, here's a bunch of our what ifs. What if the Skrulls had won? Well, the Skrulls would have won. When Stacy survived the House of M, catfight, MJ, when Stacy, can't wait. If Heroes lost World War Hulk, well, I think that's a Hulk wins. More what ifs. What if Daredevil had died and was resurrected by the Hand? And what if Jean Grey had returned instead of Colossus? That's right.
So.
Emma Frost. Watch out. All right. That's it. 70 years of publishing. All in that 10-slide presentation. Thank you. So, let's go ahead and start the questions. All right. Who's got another one? Right over there.
Thanks a lot for coming down.
No, thank you for coming down. Really appreciate it.
Going back to whatever.
Just you.
Going back to whatever the year. I'm not so much pushing for a Canadian superhero comic per se, but I would like to see a little bit more of them appearing in other people's comics. Or for that matter, it kind of seems that there's no European heroes whatsoever outside of England and that barrier. There doesn't seem to be anything going on in France.
You want French superheroes?
Apparently, Daredevil showing up in Paris, which was cool,
right.
But
that
there doesn't seem to be anything going on in Europe. And that seems rather strange, considering how much is going on in
right.
America. So it would be kind of cool if, you know, when War Machine went to, you know, Russia, that was cool because you got to see more of what's going on outside of New York City.
Right.
So what I'm kind of asking is, can we see a little bit more outside of New York City?
Yes, we do work on that as often as possible, you know. But we've got so many stories to tell that often it's tough to dictate to a creator and say, hey, listen, we want the next set of stories to take place in Bulgaria, and we want Alex Maleev to walk through the panel every once in a while. Story. Inside joke. And we want to see a slew of Bulgarian superheroes. I mean, once you start dictating that, it takes away from the actual creation of stories. So I like to let those things happen more naturally than not. But we do speak about it quite often in a lot of our creative summits and say, you know, we do have to get a bit more international with our stuff and get our characters out there and get the newer characters coming through the doors or some of the older international characters in. So it's not something we're not thinking about. But outside of those discussions, then it's really left up to the creators to tell their stories. So, thanks, man.
Also, if you read Invincible Iron Man, you probably saw that Matt created a bunch of cool characters from different countries as well. So they are appearing. They may not be the title characters in some of the books.
And often what happens too, this is actually a real truism of publishing. When you set out to sort of fill a quota, you know, whether it's like, hey, we need to get international heroes here, or we need more ethnicity in comics. You know, thankfully at Marvel, we don't have really that problem with ethnicity. Our characters are really, you know, they run the gamut. But once you do that, I think the readership smells that you're trying to fill a quota and it's not coming from a point of story. And then those books never really do well to begin with because you're just trying to solve a problem in the wrong direction. Whereas if it comes naturally out of the act of storytelling, I think the fans feel it. We certainly feel it when we read the books and see the books. So I feel that's always the best way to go about it. Thanks, man. That's why it's a what if. All right, let's see, you had one here.
Yeah, two things. I'm a huge fan of what's going on in space right now with, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians, I'm sorry.
Guardians of the Galaxy, Nova. They hinted at something, maybe, like, they brought up Wendell, you know, Quasar, how he has to go check out something, and, like, you know, is there any possible things coming out with Quasar in a mini or anything like that in the near future?
Here's what I would say. Bill Roseman, who's the editor for Cosmic Books, runs a very tight ship along with Abnett and Lanning. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying this at every panel, but it's true. They've seeded these elements because they have a plan. After War of Kings, we have War of Kings Who Will Rule in September, and then Realm of Kings begins in October. Check those issues out. Wendell, he's heard the Wendell Vaughn The cries for his return. He got a cake from some Wendell Vaughn fans. Two cakes, t-shirts. So, you know, there are plans.
And secondly, I'm also a huge fan of what's going on in the Thunderbolts and the reunions of that seem to be happening there. Is there a chance that Baron Zemo could be in the comic pages anytime soon?
Possibly. Possibly.
I'll take that as a yes.
As you wish.
See, right over there.
I love what's happening in Dark Reign right now, and I'm a huge Norman Osborn fan. I'm wondering if, you know, when it ends, is he going to completely self-destruct and be killed for sure this time? Or?
How much money you got in your pocket?
Hey, who says he's going to lose?
I'm trying to sell some books here, so I want to buy some books in advance. I'll be more than happy to whisper to you. No, of course, I can't tell you what's going to happen with Norman Osborn. You have to read the books to find out, but nice try. All right, this side. Let's see. Over there in the corner. Yeah, you.
Yeah, I'm here for a friend who couldn't be here today. I'm here to ask what's going to be happening with Miracle Man? When is it coming out?
Right. Well, like, as I stated, we're not going to make any Marvel Man announcements here today. We're working on a publishing plan for Marvel Man. So in due time we will make the announcement. We want to handle it the right way and make sure that we're coming up with the right publishing plan for the character. So,
however, if you did like Joe's incredible Marvel Man piece, the poster will be available quite soon, and there is a Marvel Man T-shirt available on Marvel.com.
All right, let's see one more on this side. Right over here.
Hi, Joe.
Hey.
Thanks,
sir.
My question is regarding the pricing of Marvel Comics.
About what?
Pricing.
Yeah.
Of Marvel Comics, and they're getting higher and higher. So my question is that smaller publishers like Dark Horse and Image, Your Voice, are still $2.99. Why is Marvel more majority of the comics are $2.99?
You know, everybody has their own different cost structures and what it costs for them to put out books. Without getting into the details of, you know, what it costs to produce a Marvel book, at the end of the day, the economics for us are probably different than a lot of other people. Mind you, our whole line didn't go up in price. Certain titles went up in price. But the cost for us, you know, with respect to, you know, you guys, I assume that you guys as Marvel readers expect us to get the best talent in the world and expect us to get the best writers and artists and best editors and in order for us to compete. And at the end of the day, I don't even see us as competing with other comic companies. I see us as competing with other mediums. These particular people, and I'm just using creators as an example of a cost structure. These particular talents could very easily go to video games, could go to television, could go to movies, and probably make significantly more than they make in comics. They do comics because they love them, but at the same time, they also have to make a living and have to look at, you know, what their talents warrant in other areas. So, you know, that's part of our cost structure. And there's a lot of other things, and really, it's more of a question for our publisher who's not here today, Dan Buntley, and he really discusses the pricing on comics. But it's not without a lot of, you know, thought and care that we looked at this and said, okay, you know what, we're going to need to raise prices on certain books. But it wasn't line-wide, and we just did it on strategic books. And actually, weren't there a couple books that actually went down?
Yeah, some of you may have noticed in November when Kieron Gillen, is that how you say his name? Billy Tan take over Thor, it's $2.99 now.
Right.
So, I mean, just building what you said, there's some books that have gone down. That's the one that comes to mind, though, the most prominent one.
Yeah, so, thanks for asking. Appreciate it. Way in the back. Yep.
Two-part question. What's the status of this submission?
And with regards to the Red Hulk,
is there plans to have
the ideal
identity?
Okay, the first part was, what's the story about submissions?
Yeah, that's it. Unfortunately, For writers, Marvel still has a closed open submission policy, meaning we will not accept story ideas, scripts, or anything revolving around Marvel characters. What we are, the way we are looking for writers and artists is you need to send us by snail mail your previously published material, a mini comic, a graphic novel, a DVD of any kind of TV writing you've done, anything like that. We accept only previously published work that's copyrighted and trademarked to you for us to review your writing, but it can't involve Marvel characters in any way. The Marvel address is in the the indicia of every single comic we put out. You can get it there, and you can send it to my attention, cbsobolsky@marvel.com, cbsobolsky@marvel.com for artists want to submit. That's a different thing, but it's just send it to my attention at Marvel to the address, anything that's previously published, and we're going to get it to the right people to review.
See, Period B.
Period. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I won't continue. Okay. Let's see, over here.
Oh, wait, you had a second part, didn't you?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. What was, it was Red Hulk?
Yes.
Yes, yes, you will know who Red Hulk is. It's coming.
Soon?
What?
Soon?
Eventually. How much money you got in your pocket?
We can talk at it.
Okay.
Yeah, just wanted to get your thoughts on the subject. When I was growing up, I usually got my comics from convenience stores and other places of common venue, and I didn't know where to go to get the to find comic book stores. And now I primarily get my comics from comic book stores, and I usually have to go out of my way to find them. Like growing up, I was never 10 or 15 minutes away from right. from a comic. I'm kind of wondering why is there a push to try and get comics? I know there's trying to get in the digital realm, but more push to get comics into common venues again, like convenience stores or shopping stores.
Yes, and I do believe we're available in some convenience stores. I wish Ski was here to talk about that, but
we are in. I know in I believe Barnes & Noble or Borders, you'll find single issue comics there in addition to trade paperbacks. But you still do have spinner racks. I think it's Indigo in Canada or one of the chains here has spinners.
Yeah.
See, I'm Canadian. but they are available, and we do have someone whose sole job is working on this kind of newsstand distribution. So, I mean, we have resources allocated just to making that happen.
Yeah. But also, you know, like I know, I'm assuming here, my understanding is that Archie's really big in Canada, too, and probably bigger in Canada than in the States these days. But, you know, those Archies that are placed on supermarket racks, at least in the States, that's incredibly expensive space that they occupy. Looking at the economics of it, it's not always the best space for us. Archie seems to be much more of an impulse buy for little kids, and it works for them.
But to get kids, someone started on comic books,
sure.
bring the product to them.
Understood. And you'll be hearing announcements, very big announcements towards that, I'd say shortly. Literally shortly. I just can't say much more of that. But don't discount the digital revolution either. That's going to be a very, very big outlet for us with respect to getting comics out to the people, because it is a problem. It's always been a problem with us with respect to distribution. Most people, you know, people in big cities take it for granted there's a comic shop around the corner, but speaking from the point of view of the States, I mean, there's people who live hundreds of miles away from a comic shop and either have to get them a subscription or not at all.
And even then, there has to be a vested interest in there to get comics in the first
sure.
place. I
mean, sure. Just, you know, and bookstores have been a very, very big outlet for us, and trade paperbacks have been a huge outlet for us, and it's been helping. So it's getting better. It's not perfect by any means. You know, that's why, you know, people often ask, say, why don't comics advertise on TV? And the reason we don't advertise on TV is because it doesn't make any sense. When you see a product advertised on TV, whether it's toothpaste, mouthwash, hair gel, whatever it may be, it's because you could walk out your door and probably find that particular product or a store that sells that particular product within blocks of where you live. So hence, spending money on TV advertising makes sense. Not so for us, not yet. But it is getting better, and I fully expect that it will be fantastic sometimes.
That's good to know.
Cool, thanks, man. Cool. Yes, sir, Madrox.
I know I'm probably the only one, but I'm a huge fan of the Century.
Cool.
Are we ever gonna see a return of the Void, as we saw him originally, as the big black negative space, as opposed to just the Century with his eyes blacked out?
Maybe. There's a lot of Century action coming up real soon. Yes. Okay. You may not like it, but there is. All right, let's see. Goatee, back there. Yep.
I was wondering, what do you feel about Marvel aiming towards younger readers? My 8-year-old nephew used to read Ultimate Spider-Man, and then he wanted to read the Ultimatum tie-in. His mother saw the issue with the blob eating the dismembered corpse of the Wasp and immediately said,
"What's wrong with that?
I can't get this." How do you feel about taking more fan-friendly books and suddenly tying them into things that are decidedly for an older audience? Like, well, is there anything you can hand to a kid at this point?
Well, you know, I would argue that you know, we do the Marvel Adventures books, which are really mostly geared towards 8-year-olds. If he was reading Ultimates and even Ultimate Spider-Man, I was like, well, you know, it's a pretty advanced 8-year-old, because I remember that, you know, was it issue 13 of Ultimate Spider-Man where Peter and MJ have the talk? So that's pretty sophisticated stuff. But, you know, every kid is different. But it certainly is a concern. That's why we did create the Marvel Adventures line specifically for kids, and so the parents can feel confident in the fact that these are books that are okay for that age group. The violence is toned down. The stories are not dumbed down, but the, you know, sort of the adult aspects of the stories are toned down a little bit. So that's the thing I recommend, is that, you know, we have a full line of those. We have tons of digests out with those books, lots of trades, and they're great books for kids. So those are the ones I get my daughter.
If they want something that ties into continuity or fits within the regular Marvel Universe, you also have stuff like Lockjaw and the Pet Avengers, Iron Man and the Armor Wars, the upcoming Spider-Man and Secret Wars. You know, feature all your big heroes in, you know, important battles. But honestly, one thing about Marvel Adventures, if you guys aren't reading them, they've all gone through radical change recently. Paul Tobin is doing amazing things with Marvel Adventures Spider-Man with gorgeous Scotty Young covers. And Marvel Adventures Avengers, the way the team was formed, if it's okay, it's Nate Cosby, he's the editor, went around the office and asked us, who would you want in the Avengers? And it is one of the coolest Avengers lineups you've ever seen.
Thanks, man. Let's see, in the hat.
I have a comment and then an unrelated question. But first of all, I just really want to commend you guys on having a lot of homosexual characters pop up the last few years. Cool. It seems, I know to some people it seems forced, but creating that sort of normality in the Marvel Universe that is in real life is invaluable.
Thanks.
Especially even as controversial as Shatterstar and your bid and that whole thing, it was excellent just to see another.
Thanks.
I was curious how you guys came to the conclusion to actually bring some of the clone side elements back. Was it people fighting, like was it like Ben Reilly or Bring Back Ben? Was it websites? Was it people coming up to you? And is it the fact that our generation, where children in the 90s reading the clone saga, who actually like it?
Are you talking about the Howard Mackey and Tom DeFalco clone saga?
Like,
or just the elements in regular Spider-Man?
Kane coming back and this Ben Reilly thing happening.
It was just a matter of being in the writer's room, and we're talking about fun ideas, and yeah, I mean, the one, I remember in that room, you know, Steve Wacker, who gets all the love-hate mail, and he's the editor on the book, just says, you know, it's unbelievable how many requests I get from Ben Reilly, even though how many people want to write in and say they hated the Clone Saga, which is, you know, again, I will say this about the Clone Saga, whatever you feel about him, as vehemently as people may be, you know, about it online or not, it still, to this day, remains the single most successful Spider-Man event in the history of the character. And that is hands down. There's not been an event that's been as successful as the Clone Saga. So we thought about ways of bringing touches of it back, like Kane, that we would find fun to play with. And that's really how it happens in the writer's room. We're just like, hey, wouldn't this be goofy, and can we make it work? And that's how we go with it. And with respect to gay and lesbian characters, thanks. That goes back to one of the original answers I was giving, which is I don't ever feel it's forced, because we don't sit around in Marvel and say, today we need three more gay characters. And it just comes out of the act of creation. And if it works as a story, then we go with it. And it's really that simple. So, but thank you. Appreciate it. Let's see. Gentleman over there. Glasses. Yep.
I've been really enjoying Astonishing X-Men with Joss Whedon and Warren Ellis writing. Wondering any new authors you're bringing into that title? Maybe Grant Morrison?
No announcements just yet. So, you know, we'll let you know as soon as we're ready to announce it. All right, on this side, let's see, who do we got? Right here. Yep, and yeah. Yep, you.
One of the things I've noticed that you started to do more, mainly only in Avengers, which is very the villains, like mixed matching the villains against heroes that they would from. I kind of want to see that more in other books as well. Like, I would love to see Dr. Octopus fight Moon Knight or, like, something. And I don't see how a villain needs to stay with a certain hero. Mm-hmm. And if you just keep carrying that up, I'm sure that we can get some really different types of fights.
Yeah, I mean, with respect to a character like Doc Ock, we had put a moratorium on Spider-Man villains appearing in other books only because when we started Brand New Day, one of the things that was happening was that Spider-Man villains were showing up in a million different places, and by the time they showed up in a Spider-Man book, they lost their specialness. So we put a moratorium on that until we got the chance to redevelop these characters and introduce them into Brand New Day. Once we do that, which we're working on currently, these characters will be branching out all over the Marvel Universe. But every once in a while, there is a strategy to why we hold certain characters back. But at the end, you know, at the end of the day, you got Norman Osborn affecting everything right now. So that's a major Spider-Man villain in the thick of everything in the Marvel Universe. Let's see, right here. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Just got a comment and question. One is, I was not a big fan of Brand New Day as a concept. However, I want to thank you for bringing up the quality in the writing, because 600 is officially my favorite Amazing Spider-Man comic of last year.
Thank you. Glad you liked it.
Other thing is that, this is coming from a friend, in regards to how Ultimatum turned out, why did so many characters end up having to get killed off rather than having them retire or say just, I don't know, get just pushed out of the picture somehow?
You'll have to wait and see why. But one of the things that we wanted to do with the Ultimate Universe is shake it up a little bit. With the Ultimate Universe, we're able to do things that we can't do with the regular Marvel Universe, or for lack of a better way of describing it. So there were things that happened when we created the Ultimate Universe. There were certain things that happened within the context of that universe, and things that we, at that time, we never would have dared to do with the Marvel Universe. And it showed and gave us a roadmap as to, there's a better way of producing a comic, a superhero comic here. So I think you very slowly saw elements of the Ultimate Universe apply itself to the Marvel Universe, including creators moving over there as well. Same thing happened when I was doing Marvel Knights in 97, 98, 99. So many elements of Marvel Knights ended up bleeding into the Marvel Universe and becoming a lot of the way we produced our books. So now, looking at the Ultimate Universe, we're looking at new and different ways to tell some stories. So what happened in Ultimatum is just the beginning of what's going to happen in the Ultimate Universe, to keep it fresh and at the same time a different experience than what you're getting in the regular books.
Mind if I just add one other question?
Yeah.
Does this represent a kind of big mood shift, or is it going to be comics like Ultimate Comics Spider-Man going to be of the same kind of age, target audience, going to be of the same age as it was before?
Yeah, no, you know, it's going to remain, the books will remain as readable and as accessible as they are. That's the goal. What will change are what happens to these heroes and villains. So, way in the back in the red.
I also noticed, speaking of the new Ultimate line, I noticed in Ultimate Comics Avengers, you seem to have Daredevil who died during
Stay tuned.
Okay, also is back. Yes. Yep. Stand up.
Infinity Gems.
Yes.
Brian Bendis and Brian Reed, I think, used them in the movie.
They were in Lockjaw and the Pet Avengers, are currently in Lockjaw's dog collar.
But I also think Brian still has plans for that, so it's not done yet. Go for it.
When I was younger, I was really obsessed with the future and time travel, and it's one of the reasons I got into 2099 series, and I'm happy to see it back. I was wondering what the plans are for the series, or the concept.
No major plans that I'm aware of, you know.
No,
we're just doing that time stuff thing, right?
Yeah, we did. We had Time Storm 2099 recently, and I think it's, to be honest, like Joe's saying, I'm not sure we have any major plans for it yet, but it got a good reception, and, you know, if fans are interested, they keep buying it, they keep talking about it, you never know.
And the second, well, technically the first half, but backwards, what was the inspiration for bringing that back?
Just an editor who really loved the old 2099 stuff and wanted to bring it back, you know, and had a decent story idea, so we said, okay, fun, sounds like fun. And if it, you know, it's one of those things that you should just sort of throw it against the wall. You know, Marvel Zombies was a perfect example. Just threw it up against the wall and said, let's see if this sticks. And it stuck. So not saying 2099, you know, can't be that, but
yep.
It's just a matter of how readers respond to it. So, cool.
Thank you.
All right, let's see. Young lady in the back. Yep. What was the problem with Marvel Divas? Right, but did you read the book? Did you read the book?
I read the first one, wasn't that the cover appeared to me.
Right.
But it's about shopping and also about the boyfriend. There's going to be a more idea of you know, more depth in the character.
I don't know. I thought those characters did have depth with them. And by the way, I loved Divas. I thought it was a great read. But again, with any of these books, you know, we have Ms. Marvel, we have tons of wonderful female characters, and it's just a matter of coming up with the right, you know, launch, and again, She-Hulk has been around for a while now. I'm just trying to not leak something, but go ahead.
Yeah, I guess here's a question I'd ask, and maybe it's like, what would you want to see in a book that would make it better for that?
There's stuff happening with one of our female characters.
We introduced an all-new Savage She-Hulk, who's pretty awesome. Right. And,
I was thinking maybe something that would reflect more of the, I don't want to say typical female audience, but like the same
Did you see the Spider-Woman motion comic today? You should. It'll be available on iTunes in Canada, I believe, at the end of September. The first issue of Spider-Woman will be out at the end of September. If you see the motion comic or read about it, I think that might fit more in what I think you're looking for. And she's cool, and there's no shopping or giggling or, oh my goodness, he likes me. I don't know specifically what you like, and I know you're not speaking for all women, so I don't want to say women would like this, but it's a really cool comic, and most of the females I know who have read it really like it.
You know a girl?
His mom.
We watch Gossip Girl, Stevie. You got nothing.
Let's see. Yellow shirt.
I'm a big fan of Daredevil ever since I actually got into Marvel with your run with Kevin Smith on Daredevil, and I really liked how the evolution of the teams kept the mood of Daredevil on, and I'm very much looking forward to Andy Diggle's take on the character. And I was wondering, is that really a conscious strategy that once you find a winning recipe, let's call it like that, or a winning mood that you're gonna that follows the classic mood of the character that you're gonna push in this direction, or is there possibilities for other takes on the character? And the reason I'm asking that is because I used to be, I'm still a big fan of Bruce Jones' run on the Hulk, and I really like to see a brainy kind of Hulk comic on the market, on top of my regular fix of Hulk Smash.
Well, you know, the beauty of Marvel Comics and Marvel characters is that there are so many different interpretations you can give these characters and still remain true to the character. Ultimately, we go, you know, and I think writers and artists gravitate to a particular take that seems to be the most successful to the character at that particular time. And the moods do change with the times. So, you know, right now, I think fans really just want to see Hulk smash some stuff. And that became very, very clear during the Bruce Jones run, which I think was a wonderful run. I think they got to a point where fans were just like, can we see the Hulk, and can we see the Hulk smash something? It was a very noir sort of mystery kind of take. And then World War Hulk really sort of had the Hulk break out, and even Planet Hulk showed us what we could do with the Hulk. And Planet Hulk was something that we really gravitated to because we just thought, okay, you know, I think it's time for the Hulk to really hit something, and how about if he had a sword when he hit it? So this is the place where we are now. I'm not saying that we can't go to a brainy, more noir kind of Hulk story, but right now we like to see him smash some stuff because I think that's what the fans are looking for now as well. What was that?
You said he can't turn into the Hulk anymore.
Well,
Hulk.
Right, but we do have Hulk smashing things.
And you do have Scar, and I'll just interject, Incredible Hulk, Greg Pak has come back aboard that, and Bruce Banner is, if you've read it, he's sort of MacGyverish.
No, I've been loving that.
Yeah, and so you do have two different kind of Hulk flavors out there right now, depending on what your preference is. And keep your eye on Scar, if you're a Hulk fan.
Keep your eyes open for Paisley Hulk coming your way. Sir, right here. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Quick question. One of my favorite characters is Doctor Strange.
Is
that it for Doctor Strange?
And yes,
we'll
we're done.
We're closing again.
Will we be seeing more of magic and supernatural stories in the Marvel Universe?
Yeah, we actually will. But you know, I've always said that I think that magic stories are some of the toughest stories to tell because it's very, very hard to establish the rules of the universe. For me, the problem with Doctor Strange has always been that there's always a way out. You know, you back Spider-Man into a wall, into a corner, and you know you wonder how he's going to get out of this situation with a villain. Yeah, you know Spider-Man's going to get out of it, but the trick is how does he outsmart the villain? How does he get out of that particular predicament? With Doctor Strange, it's as simple as like, you know, crimson bands of whatever, and he's done and he's out of the situation. So without establishing really good rules for the world of magic, it makes it much tougher to tell those stories in a way that I think eventually engages people. So we are doing some magic stuff down the road, and we're trying to establish those rules as we move along. But
Two really quick things. If in Dr. Voodoo, Avenger of the Supernatural, number one in October, you're going to get some hints as to what's going on with magic in the Marvel Universe. I can't say the scene or the characters involved other than Dr. Voodoo. Also, if you want to read one of the most unique Doctor Strange stories you will ever read, read Strange Tales, number one. It's on sale next week. It is an amazing Doctor Strange story.
And Strange launching in November.
Yes, there's also Strange launching in November from Mark Waid. And who's the artist?
Emma Rios.
Emma Rios, which follows what Stephen Strange is doing after he's no longer Sorcerer Supreme.
Way in the back?
Yeah, along the lines of the Hulk smashing stuff, why doesn't Spider-Man smash more stuff than the newspaper comic. It's always him, like, screwing up, basically.
In a newspaper comic?
Yeah.
I honestly don't know. We have nothing to do with that.
Oh, okay.
That's all Stan. So you have to ask Stan that question. So, in the red, over here.
More Typhoid Mary.
More Typhoid Mary. Not
Zero in Shadow Initiative.
Yeah, sure.
Mutant Zero in Shadow Initiative.
Yeah, there's, Chris Gage and Dan Slott, Dan had that plan with Mutant Zero and Typhoid Mary the whole time. You saw the reveal, and then they were over in... Madripoor for a while. And they're going to plan on following up on that, I think, in a little more of the Avengers Initiative.
Alright, gentlemen over here.
Hi. Hey. I love your stuff lately. Thanks. I like how you kind of put a more adult feel to a lot of the mainstream, regular universe stuff. And I really like your new Secret Warriors that you guys are doing with Nick Fury. Mm-hmm. It seems like he is really a linchpin to what's the undercurrent with a lot of things going on in different areas. And it looks like he's kind of maybe trying to bring back S.H.I.E.L.D. Do you have any comments on what?
Yeah, keep reading. All your answers.
And if you're reading Secret Warriors, make sure you pick up Dark Reign of the Lich Secret Warriors. It has one of the coolest Nick Fury moments of all time.
Let's see. Alright, here in front.
Alright, I just want to say I'm a huge fan of the Hercules comic. It's probably my favorite one. You guys are planning on making him like a bigger force in the Marvel Universe.
This big Hercules book, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're very, very, there's very big Hercules plans. The one thing we have announced is Assault on New Olympus. It begins in November. If you've been paying attention to what Amadeus Cho and Hulk have been doing in, they've been doing switching issues. Their stories will converge. We've got U.S. Agent, the Mighty Avengers, Spider-Man, big Marvel characters in the story, and it plays into some of our other big plans, which we can't announce in 2010.
Let's see. Okay, White Hat, yes.
The Young Avengers appeared in Mighty Avengers, and they have their own Dark Reign book. Any plans for a Young Avengers monthly?
We actually have plans for a very, very big Young Avengers series that Alan Heinberg has actually been writing. So I would stay tuned for that. We're waiting for all the stories to be written and drawn. And Jimmy Chung is also the artist on it, so it'll be Alan's sort of definitive Young Avengers arc, and we'll be kind of holding the team back until Alan can get through with that story. Once that's done, then I think you'll start seeing Young Avengers possibly in their own title moving forward from that point. But again, ultimately you guys decide what we do with that. But I can't wait for the story to come out, and we have scripts in, but we're waiting for a big chunk of it to be done. Do you know how many issues? Is it 8 issues?
8 issues.
Issues, yeah. So stay tuned for that.
Is Wick in here? She was in the last panel. She looked great. She was in costume. No?
All right, let's see. Over here? Yep.
I was just wondering, for as far as like deaths of common characters and then them coming back, with some of the things that have happened recently, like for example Miss Marvel dying and then being back like 3 months or less, do you think that has a negative effect on drama of character dying in comic books? And continue on allowing the writers to kill off characters of their will and bring them back, or is there...
It's all a matter of how well it's executed, as far as I'm concerned. If the death is executed well and it's meaningful and the resurrection is executed well and meaningful, then I'm okay with it. Generally, when we do these things, there's a plan for both the death and resurrection, or the resurrection and the death. The problem comes in when you do it in a very cliché sort of manner, and then I think then when you start doing that, it starts to whittle away at the reality of it. But we all know as comic book fans that that's part of, you know, it's one of the tropes of comic book, you know, writing and creating, is that characters will die, characters will return. They'll probably return in a different way than you remember them being, but it's just a way of keeping our characters fresh. So, let's see, on this side. Yes, sir.
Despite the fact that I'm wearing a Superman shirt.
Okay, next.
I've been a big fan of Marvel for
a long time.
I just came back from a trip, only clean shirt I had.
Marvel shirt.
But I just wanted to thank you guys for increasing the exposure of Deadpool.
Yes.
I'm a huge fan of him for a long time. I'm super excited for the Deadpool movie, and I never laughed so hard as when I'm reading a Deadpool comic.
Cool. Thank you.
I want to thank you guys for that. And I also really like Hawkeye, who's Ronin now. But is he ever going to pick up the Hawkeye costume again?
Actually, we're probably going to kill him again, I think.
Hey, did you read New Avengers Reunion by Jim McCann?
Yes, I did.
Did you like it?
A lot, yeah.
You're going to be happy next year.
Yep. Thank you.
You got it.
Oh.
All right, let's see. Right here in the cover. Yes.
In regards to the film adaptations, once it's agreed that a film is happening based on your characters, how much creative control do you guys put into the film? And it's kind of a two-pronged question, so based on what you say, I kind of got it.
Every movie is different. By that I mean the movies that are licensed out. So Marvel Studios, we have total control.
Yeah.
When I say Marvel Studios, I'm talking about, you know, Iron Man, the most recent Hulk movie, the upcoming Thor movie, Iron Man 2, upcoming Captain America, and the upcoming Avengers. We have complete total control of those movies. So much so that it is it's a cross-company platforms that we all work on these movies. So I'm part of something called the Marvel Creative Committee, and I believe it's, I want to say six of us, that really sort of sit in a room or in a conference call and work on everything from the outlines to casting for the movie to the visuals for the movie. And we get to see everything as it comes through to make sure that it is, while a movie can never be an exact literal translation of a comic book, we want to make sure that when people walk away from a Marvel Studios movie, they've felt that Marvel experience. I think Iron Man and Hulk really sort of felt like Marvel. Whereas sometimes you may see a movie out there that doesn't necessarily feel like it's from the same company that produces the comics. So we want to make sure that our Marvel movies feel like Marvel. And we're also working on a continuity for the Marvel movies that is consistent through all the movies. So
that was actually my next question.
Right. So
in regards to characters that are licensed out to Fox, Sony, whatever.
Right.
Is there any plans on trying to get them back into regular Marvel continuity? Maybe you have a possible Civil War movie years down the road?
Yeah, like honestly, I wouldn't hold my breath for that because they, you know, again, while we have some creative control of those movies, every studio is different, and those studios are the ones that really have the skin in the game. They're paying for those movies. So what we can control is our slate, the characters that we wholly own and produce our movies. So our continuity will hopefully be relatively tight within the context of our movies that eventually.
I would just love to see Spider-Man in the Avengers or something like
that. Oh, yeah. Who wouldn't, right? You know? Sure. I wish I had a better answer for you, but, you know, right, we can concern ourselves with the ones that we're doing.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks, sir. Thank you. All right, yes. Raising your hand. Go.
I was dying to know what took so long to get Spider-Man in there. I'm sure everyone in here knew Spider-Man would be at the box office hit that it was.
Right.
It took years to come, but can you explain the entanglement or the problems?
No, actually, I can't. No, I'm serious. I wasn't even at Marvel at the time when this stuff was happening. So, you know, when by the time I took over as editor-in-chief, I think Spider-Man was already being worked on. So I couldn't tell you what the you know.
Any background on what took so long?
No, honestly, I don't. Huh?
The rights to Spider-Man were sold to too many studios.
Right, yeah, I mean, there's stuff like that. Again, this is something that goes to Sony, who puts out the movies and the Spider-Man movies, but I have no empirical knowledge of anything as I wasn't there. I was there as the movie was starting to be put together.
Or it was tied in, they sold the rights to sell shirts or something.
I have no idea. Rights to sell shirts, I doubt that would be it. I doubt the movie would be held up because of that. Let's see, way in the back. Yes, you just turn around. Yes, you, sir, stand up.
Dan Slott's Reckoning War,
apparently Avengers been building up ever since it's run the Chamber 5 years ago.
It's something that Dan's been talking about for years, and he's been just dropping little hints and doing things in all the books he writes to build up to this big event that he'd like to do someday, hopefully. There's nothing set in stone. He's never approached any of us about it. He loves to talk about it at cons and get the fans built up, but there's nothing official for Reckoning War in any way, shape, or form at this time.
Okay, let's see. This is where you go.
Giant Ghost Rider fan.
Yes.
Maybe the only one left. After the mini.
It's not true.
I know.
But at least, after, there's at least one more.
After Jason Aaron's mini, is there any more Ghost Rider, or is it off for a while?
There's talk about there are plans for Ghost Rider after, but it's not. I don't expect it'll be like the month after Ghost Rider's ends. And if anybody does like Ghost Rider or even just likes the visual, read Ghost Riders. I didn't ever like Ghost Rider. And I started. I read what Daniel Way and Jason Aaron did. I don't know, if you ever like that show Supernatural?
Yes.
It's like that, but in comic form. It's awesome.
Tony Moore's art. All right,
let's see. Who else is next? Someone right here?
In One Wireless, I thought it was a really high-quality book that was really digging into the whole Iron Fist mythos. But I guess it never held on to a readership strong enough to justify keeping it around. Creatively, what could you do to make, you know, Danny Rand and his whole legacy? How do you make that more palatable to you?
We haven't announced anything after. That's already out right now.
Okay.
Yeah. We have, look, I'm an Iron Fist fan. I have a tattoo of the logo here. Love it. We have Immortal Weapons going on right now. It's 6 issues exploring each of the characters. There are plans for Iron Fist. A lot of these street-level characters, there are plans for all of them. It's just, like with Ghost Rider, just the month after Immortal Weapons ends, you may just not see a new series right after. The same way we had Moon Knight end, let that interest in him, you know, simmer, and then we're launching Vengeance of the Moon Knight next month. You know, we understand that fans want that, you know, Iron Fist fix every month. I do. But sometimes you need the character just to have a little bit of time off so the anticipation grows and that people can find the right approach.
All right, let's see. Go for it.
I have a question regarding Iceman from the X-Men. I always thought his role was underplayed, and he was one of the original X-Men, and given his power level, I felt he could run the X-Men sort of and create his own danger. Are there any plans to bring up his role on the X-Men?
He's an accountant too, you know that, right?
Yeah, we just had an X-Men retreat recently out in LA, and we met with all the writers, and there are some things coming for Iceman. You know, he has been a hero that's been a little bit kind of a butt of a joke, and even, you know, very self-effacing, so I think his personality has developed over the years, helped, you know, carry that along. But there are some other writers who have some very cool plans for Iceman, so coming in about middle of 2010, around April-ish, I think you'll be seeing some cool stuff.
And also, if you've noticed the X-Men Origins one-shots we've been doing, they generally seem to highlight characters who have something major going on or coming up. Iceman has one of those one-shots in November. Art's by Phil Noto. Yep. And who's writing it? Forget who's writing it, and they're probably going to hate me for this, but it's a gorgeous-looking book, and so we wouldn't be spotlighting him just for the sake of spotlighting him. There are plans for him.
Any comments on his power level?
He's an Omega level mutant, I think, right?
It's sort of an inconsistent.
If you go to the Marvel booth and we're done, look for a guy called Tim Dillon. He will probably hug you for asking an Iceman question.
Thank you.
All right. Right there.
I was actually wondering, there have been a lot of sort of experiments with form and original graphic novels recently that other publishers have been doing. I mean, DC is doing Wednesday Comics in the smaller line style OGNs. I was wondering if Marvel's going to do any of those. Or anything along those lines in terms of
change? No, I mean, we do digest, but we're not going to do anything in a radically different format. We're talking about doing something. Actually, I can't talk about it just yet, but nothing like Wednesday Comics. No, not at the moment. You know, and with respect to original graphic novels, we don't do original graphic novels. We write our books monthly, but we're experimenting with other formats, which is motion comics and digital comics, which is really where I think the wave of the future is going to be. As much as I appreciate the comics thing, you know, doing something in a newspaper format is something that, you know, sort of warms the cockles of my heart from a retro standpoint. But I don't know if it's something where we go, because, you know, newspapers are struggling to exist, you know, to even exist right now. So my view is really more in the future format of comics. What's that going to be?
I was actually more curious about the smaller, you know, style, like the crime novels.
Right.
Because I know, like, if you go into a chapter to put out your comic section, you're pretty lousy. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's not very well displayed and things. I mean, those, because they're smaller, can be more easily displayed. That's what I was kind of curious about when you did something.
I don't know if because they're smaller, they're more easily displayed, to be honest with you. But we're not looking at anything like that right now.
Two more questions. So,
two more questions, I've been told. Two more. Who's got a really good one? All right, you're waving your hand. Go for it, sir.
So I know you don't have a lot of control over, like, Fox movies or whatever, like X-Men Origins. I was wondering, what do you think of Deadpool in X-Men Origins? And do you wonder, like, for the movie, like, I know a lot of fans are really excited for the movie because Ryan Reynolds keeps on saying in interviews, like, okay, it's going to be Deadpool, like how he, like I grew up loving him and everything, so he's not going to ruin it. And if you could get like Daniel Way to maybe write the screenplay.
I honestly have no control over who would write the screenplay for the Fox movie.
What did you think of what happened to Wade Wilson in X?
You know, fans seem to like it. So, you know, was it my favorite take on the character? Well, no, but they, you know, on my end of it, it was like, hey, somebody did the character, and I think that's been a good thing.
Yeah, I thought that would, but like, if you watch it, you're just like, crushes you in a way.
Yeah, but here's the bright side of that. Since that movie's been out, Deadpool has become one of the most popular characters in the Marvel Universe, so I can't argue with that.
There's nothing with Deadpool in the title that is actually in stock at Diamond right now. I think that's already gone on sale. It keeps selling out, and we can't print enough.
So, you know.
Well, Henry said that character was Deadpool. It was just
Come on, it was Wade Wilson.
Okay, guys, one last question, because one last question for Joe.
Jeez, all right, one last. Yes, Ben. Stand up, please.
First of all, I agree, Deadpool was not good in that movie. I do have another Deadpool question. Recently in the comics, he hasn't been doing a lot of like fourth wall, like pop culture references at all. Is there any plans for that? Is it piracy?
You know, probably. I always love the fourth wall stuff. I think that's really, really funny. I don't dictate this, so I often don't care for pop culture references only because when you go back and read these books in trade paperbacks, like 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years later, you go, wow, that's really dated. And it's certainly not funny anymore. So, but, you know, it's really more writer-specific.
Yeah, one thing I will say, and this, I'm a marketing guy, so maybe this is crass, but our Deadpool press releases are only written in Deadpool voice because we want to have Deadpool breaking the fourth wall there by actually a guy called Rich Rodriguez who works there. He does a great job with it. So one thing I will say about Deadpool, read Deadpool 900 if you're looking for that kind of stuff. Remember, he's the first character, not Batman and not Superman, to reach 900. No, you know what? And then we have Deadpool Team Up coming in 899.
What do you do with that 900 stuff? That's all you guys.
You know what? Yeah, they'll thank. Cheer. Come on, Deadpool 900. Cheer. Now, do you want to be involved with it?
Scummy. I'm going to take one more question. One more. Yeah, go. Glasses, go.
Wait, I'm
launching.
You have a very popular Iron Man film, so wouldn't it make sense to do a
continuation
of that story
comic? Yeah, we actually did, and Mike, correct me on this, on Marvel Digital Comics, marvel.com/digitalcomics, we did Hulk and Iron Man stories that followed the films.
Yeah. Okay, that's why I haven't said anything to Hulk. We did do something on Digital Comics that was original based on the movie continuity, but in reality, just from a company standpoint, what we want those movies to do is actually bring people into the Marvel Universe as well. So it's not that we want to really go out there and create a different continuity in a publishing form. We'd rather have them come in and read Invincible Iron Man or The Incredible Hulk and such. So.
Right. And that's why it's so important that our movies have that Marvel feel to them, because what you don't want is you don't want somebody to get one experience in the movie theaters and then come and read a book and not feel that same sort of experience. And also it makes it difficult because Marvel Studios has their stories that they want to tell. So at the end of the day, if we're going to be telling their stories within our comics, it sort of spoils what they want to do and takes the specialness away from what they're doing. So we're trying to keep those things as separate as possible. And every once in a while we'll dip our finger in, but we want people to read the Marvel Universe and the Ultimate Universe. So, guys, thank you very much.
Thank you. Guys.
Guys, maybe I should get your name.